Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Jose and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own hometown and among their own kin, in their own house. And he could do no deeds of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them." And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be yours from our mothering Father God, our Savior Jesus Christ, and our Comforter and Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now, as I understand it, one of the reasons that I was invited, so the context is that I was approached in an email, right?
I emailed you, yeah.
Yeah, I was invited to come preach here at Christ the King. And when I asked Pastor Roy, I was like, is there a theme? Is there context? And he said, no. Basically, he just wanted to invite voices, diverse voices. I'm diverse. Amen?
Amen.
So one of the things, if you have a culture awareness, if you've ever heard, that there's kind of like a back and forth, right? Call and response. We did it with the prayer, with the children's prayer. So one of the things that I need from my siblings from Christ the King is if I say amen, then I need you to respond with amen. So let's practice. Amen?
Amen.
So the thing about when I say amen and you respond,
amen.
I know you're with me. Amen?
Amen.
Because whether you realize it or not, it's not always that easy, right, to stand before your siblings that are not familiar to you, right? Because that's what happened with Jesus in this text. Jesus went home, and Jesus had experienced a lot of fame and celebrity and accomplishment, but when he went home, and all of his wisdom and all of his giftedness, he wanted to share with his people, and they were too familiar to him. All they knew was the little boy that was sitting on Mary's knee. They just could not see the gifted prophet that Jesus had developed into being. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, when Pastor kind of put a couple of dates out before us, I immediately took this weekend. Now, I admit I wasn't that conscious or it didn't register that it would be the 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend. And the closer we got to me actually coming to this text on behalf of Christ the King, I was like, oh, it's a holiday weekend. And so I was like, how do you speak, how do you preach around patriotism, right? How do you preach around independence when you don't celebrate that like others do. So, on July the 5th, 1852, Frederick Douglass gave a keynote address at an Independence Day celebration and asked the question, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" He said, "The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the distance between this platform and the slave plantation from which I escaped is considerable. And the difficulties to be overcome in getting from the latter to the former are by no means slight. That I am here today is to me a matter of astonishment as well as of gratitude. You will not therefore be surprised if in what I have to say, I evince no elaborate preparation, nor grace my speech with any high-sounding exordium. With little experience and with less learning, I have been able to throw my thoughts hastily and imperfectly together, and trusting to your patient and generous indulgence, I will proceed to lay them before you. This, for the purpose of this celebration, is the 4th of July. It is the birthday of your nation's independence and of your political freedom. This, to you, is what the Passover was to the emancipated people of God. It carries your minds back to the day and to the act of your great deliverance and to the signs and to the wonders associated with that act and that day. This celebration also marks the beginning of another year of your national life and reminds you that the Republic of America is now 76 years old. Today, this Republic of America is 245 years old. It's still a fairly young nation. Would you agree?
Yes.
Langston Hughes, an African-American poet from the Harlem Renaissance, wrote in his poem entitled Democracy, protesting the lack of democracy for African-American people, he wrote of freedom as a strong seed that was planted in a great need. Theologian Dr. Frank Thomas says that freedom could be defined as what public resources are provided to one group of people and not provided to another. Freedom, he says, is a form of privilege. Dr. Martin Luther King said of freedom, "Freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Freedom has always been an expensive thing. History is fit testimony to the fact that freedom is rarely gained without sacrifice and self-denial. Freedom, history is fit testimony." Jesus instructed the disciples, if they do not receive what you have to share with them, shake the very dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. And so, siblings in Christ, you and I, we are siblings. Because of the water of the baptism, we are one. And so my prayer is that you do not reject my testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Because if scripture is true, Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except. And so because I am a prophet, but I am not of yours, I have to believe that you will honor what the Holy Spirit will share with us today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as 21st century leaders, as I went to this text on behalf of Christ the King, the thing that came up to me was about freedom. I'm mindful that the 4th of July, the celebrations of independence, is about freedom. But I'm also aware that everyone does not experience freedom the same way. So I like dialogue, right? Not monologue. So to make sure that we're together, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and you just raise your hand. So how many people are celebrating that we're on the other side of the pandemic? Yeah, I feel like everybody's hand should be up on that one. Amen? Okay. We're getting there. So how about how many people in here really had a hard experience watching the racial and the social justice uprising of last summer? How many people in here ventured down to the George Floyd Square? How many people in here believe that they kind of understand what the uprising was about? How many people in here have no idea? Thank you for sharing your truth, right? So I just wanted to share a little bit with you about some of the learning that I have acquired during this past pandemic. So as 21st century leaders that should be liberating, we should be liberating against religious nationalism, capitalism, systemic racism, elitism, sexism, ableism, right? The list goes on and on and on. What we have gotten in the habit of doing is blaming the victim, blaming the marginalized, blaming the oppressed, as opposed to assigning blame where it should be, the oppressor. If this nation had not done what it did, had not said enough with the oppression, the United States of America, the Republic of America would not be here. But everybody that was in that struggle was from the same identity base, right? So you have whiteness, right? We can call it whiteness, and then we have people of color. So one of the things that I realized when I was experiencing the pandemic, I'm single. I live alone. And so I encountered the pandemic with a lot of fear. And my greatest fear was if I had contacted the virus, living alone, I would be suffering alone, and I wouldn't have someone there to watch over me, to protect me, or to make sure that I had what I needed. Now, I have a loving, beloved community, and I know that my community would have made sure that my physical needs were met. But my sister, I'm a large family. So there are 9 of us living, there were 13 born. But two of my sisters, my two older sisters, both of them contacted the virus. And so we did a lot of video chats. So what we would do is, if my sister was home alone, some of us would sit on a video with her until someone else was home to make sure that she was okay, because she was struggling with her breathing. I lived in a place of fear that I had never experienced before. And so I had a crisis of faith. I had some doubt. And so if I look at this text, it's real easy for me to be critical of the people that rejected Jesus. But Jesus said clearly they had no faith. They didn't believe. And I confess to you that I was in a place where I did not believe. I also confess to you that I had more issues with the uprising and the capitalism, right? The uprising of people being upset about the stuff, right? And they were not caring about the body. But what I noticed about the uprising, the pandemic of the social justice uprising, was that that was not just in America. That uprising was not just happening in the Republic of America. The uprising was happening everywhere, worldwide. Marginalized people are suffering all around the world. There are countries that do not have access to the virus. That's not racism. That's capitalism. That's elitism, right? There are so many marginalized groups that during this pandemic, their suffering is being exposed. And so I wonder, as we come out of this pandemic, what can we do? That's my wonder. I don't have the answers. I know I care. I know I care about all of the marginalized groups across the world. But you know what my greatest learning was when we came out of this, during this pandemic? Say, what is it, Pastor? It's providence. When Jesus sent his disciples out to teach and preach, and in Mark's gospel, Jesus is a teacher. You'll always see something about teaching. They'll either call him teacher or he'll send his disciples out to teach and teach repentance and to heal and deliver. But in Mark's gospel, Jesus is a teacher and there is immediacy. And when Jesus sent his 12 out, when they rejected Jesus, Jesus did not waste time. We have a slang, it's called pop his collar. Jesus popped his collar and he kept moving. He was like, if they're not going to hear what we have to say, if they're not ready, that's not on me. So he sent his disciples elsewhere, but he told his disciples to take nothing for their journey. Why? Because Jesus knew that everything they needed, God would provide. My greatest learning through this whole pandemic is that God provides always. The disciples, it said that they went and they came back, they had testimonies of everything they needed, the lessons, the wisdom, the ability to heal and deliver, God provided. I stopped by here today, Christ the King, to tell you that God provides. Everything you need, God provides. Everything you need. Bible never told us everything we wanted, God provides. But everything we need, God provides. I do think we're invited to pray for those that have not received. I think it would be a beautiful thing for Christ the King to commit to praying for what they call third world countries. Just pray for those marginalized communities that don't have the access that this great Republic of America has. That was a learning that I want to proclaim to everybody. Whether they believe it or not, I found it to be true. God provides. Say that with me. God provides. We're here today because God provides. We're here by the grace of God and God's provision, and the disciples had that wisdom and that experience when Jesus sent them out. Another thing I learned, and Dr. King said it, riots are the voice of the unheard. What would it look like for my siblings, Christ the King, to spend a little time listening to their neighbors? It's not that complicated. Just spend a little time getting to know your neighbors and hearing about their experiences, their desires. You'd be surprised how similar they are. Another important learning during this pandemic is that we need the world, this physical building, this earth, more than the earth needs us. I think we believe that God gave us dominion over the earth, but what I saw when all of us had to stay indoors, the earth had a little time to heal itself. Did you see that? Did you notice that when everything slowed down, the air got better, right? It seemed like more animals were coming out, just moving around. I saw on social media where water that was black and brown was turning blue and green. And it was one of my greatest learnings because I forget that God cares and provides for all of God's creation. not just humans. Our job as co-creators is to care about and care for God's creation just as much as God cares about and cares for us. And so we have a responsibility and an opportunity post-pandemic to be a little mindful and a little less self-absorbed. I'm not saying Christ the King is self-absorbed, but I'd be surprised if you don't know at least one person that's not self-absorbed and make things about them. It's not about us, it's about God's work. That's why Jesus sends us out. That's why Jesus equips us with what we need to be the hands and feet of Christ. Martin Luther said that we are saved for the sake of our neighbors. If we just start turning and looking to our neighbors, we might actually begin to build that beloved kingdom that Jesus talks about in all of the Gospels, the beloved kingdom of God. And I have taken in the habit of saying kingdom, right? Kingdom. We're all one body when we're on one accord. Amen? Amen. You with me, church? You're with me? Okay, so here's the plug. I do bring greetings to you all from Augsburg University, President Primanol, and my co-pastor, Justin Lynn Ayers, in campus ministry. So at Augsburg, we have this summer weekly camp, and it's for high school. It's called AYTI. And students come and they stay on campus for a week. And there's always a theme, and then the students will commit to doing some kind of research. And then they come back and they present it to the congregation. At Augsburg, we also have the center, the Christensen Center for Vocation, which is where AYTI falls out. But both of these departments and the Interfaith Institute all fall up under the president's division of mission. And I bring that up because one of my coworkers is Ferdosa Hassan. Ferdosa is a Muslim student advisor, and she's the assistant director to the institute that former Bishop Emeritus Mark Hansen is the director of. Now, you may wonder, why are you bringing that up? Because I feel like we want to extend ourselves to Christ the King. When you experience other, when you have dialogue with other, it's harder for you to devalue them. And so maybe Christ the King would like to have an adult forum where maybe Ferdosa and I come out and we have conversations. I feel like one of the things coming out of the pandemic is that we missed community. We missed socializing. We missed just having simple conversations. I believe when Jesus sent the disciples out, the disciples didn't go talk at people. Jesus didn't talk at people. He talked to and with people. And so we will extend the invitation always to consider, invite us out to do an adult forum, to have a conversation, to have someone come out and talk about some of the opportunities that Augsburg Mission lines up with Christ the King. Finally, I had this imagination about how Jesus came in and he was sitting in the temple and he was teaching. And when he sat down and everybody was looking at him, it was like he said, full of vitality and vigor, Jesus spoke of God as the source of all energy in the universe. Atomic energy, electrical energy, and spiritual energy. Contact with God establishes within us a flow of the same type of energy that recreates the world and that renews springtime every year. When we are spiritually connected with God, the divine energy flows through the personality, automatically renewing the original creative act. A continuous flow of energy into the human mind and body is available to all who believe. God is this radical force of energy. The energy of love, the energy of care, the energy of empowerment for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
From tomorrow, you break ancient skin.